Cobras and Fire, starring Loose Cannon and Baco. Today we discuss the Guns N' Roses Night Train Wreck of a Reunion. Remember, rock's not dead, it's hiding, and you found it. Well done.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Loose Cannon, along with the great, the magnificent Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well, and it's Daryl Hot Rod.
I knew you threw those out last time, the stage names. Okay, Daryl Hot Rod, and what's my name again?
You're Craig Polachekovich.
Okay, now I'm getting the joke. Is this a stretch of a joke where these are similar names to Decibel Geek hosts?
You know how long it took me to come up with a name like Polachekovich that I could actually remember?
That one is good because it's very... How is it spelled? I need to know the spelling, though.
Spelled it phonetically. I actually have it written in front of me.
Hold on. Let me write down. Go ahead.
It's going to end with a W-I-C-Z.
No, I need the full spelling.
I'm getting there. Okay, uh-huh. So there's a B and an O in the beginning. I'm gonna put the N before and after the L.
Yeah, okay. So we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on. Enough. This is not a fucking spelling bee. Let's go to the show. So anyway, moving past the stage names and Aaron Camaro, Hot Rod, whatever your theme is going there. What do you want to talk about today?
Let's talk about a band that the lead singer has one of the greatest stage names. It's an anagram for oral sex. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm talking about Steve Oral Sex. No, I'm talking about
that guy is awesome. He's incredible.
Lead singer of Guns N' Roses.
Steve Oral Sex. That's not much of an anagram. That's a Steve in front of Oral Sex.
Yeah, Steve isn't very good at anagrams.
No, he's not at all. Is that really true?
Yeah. Well, I
think he made that up afterwards.
Wait a second. I don't know that. The story is true, but it is true that
you can make
Rose
oral sex
is an anagram for oral sex.
No, I know, but I don't think that he's that sharp that he could have come up with that. Like,
my close personal friend Axel would tell me that he is very smart.
Excuse me.
Well, they're having themselves a good old fashioned band reunion.
A reunion, you say?
Coachella for sure. A couple shows in Vegas.
I saw that.
And then announced.
They announced the Vegas ones. Is that right after, too?
Right before. I think they're using it to kind of warm up.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Victimize the Vegas people and then do a good two concerts at Coachella. Now,
Coachella fans.
You know, I'm not sure if it's really a reunion. I mean, I actually, there's a certain podcast and a certain Facebook page that has been every day inundating me with cryptic messages and rumors and all these types of things talking and relating to the reunion.
I think I might follow that same page.
Okay. So, you know, I follow it and you know, I put my comment about the thing. I basically said, you know, I don't really think this is a reunion if you just have Axl and Slash and Duff. It basically is like, you know, Axl's touring band with two guest stars, essentially. You know, yeah, I mentioned that. You know, I think they should at least have Matt Sorum. I get if Steve Nadler can't do it. I get that. Sure. And if Izzy can't do that, maybe Gilby is there. But I think you got to have 4 out of 5 of at least the Use Your Illusion lineup to really call it that. And for a multitude of reasons, I made this post and I said, you know, basically this is Axl still having control. You know, by him doing this, he's essentially saying, this is still my fucking house. You come into here, you two come in here, and we'll do a, quote, reunion, but I still have control. Okay? That was my post. The response back was, who besides the media and fans are calling this a reunion?
Well, who besides the media and the fans are fucking talking about it?
What does that mean?
That means everybody talking about it is calling it a reunion, except for, what, Axl and Slash and Duff?
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't make any
Frank
sense.
Frank Farrar, like anybody gives a crap what he thinks?
I sat there and looked at that, and I was like, hold on a second. That is, I looked at it, and I'm like, huh, that's like a Jedi mind trick. These are not the droids you're looking for. Like, I'm what? I don't even understand what just happened to me. And I thought, like, oh, you're right. I haven't actually heard the reunion word from Axl Rose and whoever else. And anyway, it's just bizarre to me. But do you have anything else to say?
Splitting hairs on.
But there's no commentary about actually what I was. Anyway, the point being is that now, and that was right before Axl was supposed to show up on Jimmy Kimmel. And then and then what did he do?
He didn't show.
Why do you think that's? I have my theory. What's your guess of why he didn't show up?
Oh, man. You know, I hadn't thought about it, largely because I didn't care. I don't know. What's your theory?
Well, let's go back to, okay. I'll tell you my theory, and then we'll go back to kind of our own personal investment in Guns N' Roses. Okay? So, and it's kind of funny how you say that, because I definitely have kind of the thing you are, where I'm kind of like, unlike other reunions for other bands that would possibly happen, I kind of have a kind of a, right, kind of like a fuck you at this point, right?
Well,
a little bit,
indifferent, to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
Indifferent. You know what? That's the better word. Indifferent. Like, it's kind of exciting.
I guess if there's a DVD, I might check it out.
Here's the thing. Okay, so going back to the Jimmy Kimmel thing, I think there was a couple things that I have two theories. One of them is that last minute. You know, they've never made a definitive statement on this tour if it's only going to be the three, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Only that they have these dates scheduled.
Yeah, because there's even rumors that they're negotiating. These are still just rumors, you know, kind of like the last 3 months leading up to this official Coachella announcement that Izzy might be part in some of it and Steven Adler might be allowed to sit next to the drummer while he plays or whatever. But
yeah, but that's all those kind of things like that podcast and Facebook page and everything are talking about. They perpetuate kind of these rumors. So the point being is that I think that there's two things why he didn't show up in Jimmy Kimmel. One is that some kind of contract negotiation went south. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. Right before that, either with Slash, with Duff, maybe they're going to bring Matt Sorum in, and then all of a sudden they're like, you can't make the official announcement. We haven't figured out the pay. You know what I'm saying?
They couldn't actually confirm it.
Right, they couldn't make the official press release on Jimmy Kimmel. Or the other one that I think is even more credible is the fact that I think, you know, because he's kind of he's a recluse, right? You know, for him to go on a talk show is pretty huge. And I think
it's one thing to perform, but to sit down, because it sounds like this is just going to be him, if I remember right.
Right. Like, who knows? Maybe something's kind of falling out in negotiations. Maybe they were going to play that night. Because Jimmy Kimmel is the place that, you know, they have the whole Bud Light live stage or whatever like that. They go outside and they have the whole venue where they could do like the Guns N' Roses reunion. So either they're going to perform or not. I think that he feared that he was going to and here's the official reunion or something like that. And then Jimmy was going to say like, is this really a reunion? Or maybe not like that, but some kind of like press him a little bit. So it's just, you know, or even a question like, oh, so this is Duff and Slash, what about A and B? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he was uncomfortable with the conversation that could happen, and because he's such a control freak.
Eddie Trunk would want to chime in right now and remind everybody that we need to know things that we have no business knowing and be condescending, and because they're insiders, they would want to... You got to understand... There's a lot of things that got to go into works. And these things happen behind the scenes. And what people, what fans, you're sitting at home and you're playing with your cat's vagina. You need to know this, you know.
I don't understand.
For some reason,
sideways.
I felt like channeling my inner Eddie Trunk.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And I got to tell you, like, I thought I was actually on the show. But with that said, I mean, what really is there? I mean, if you think about it, if they're right at this point, there has to be something where I think it's just going to be a night train wreck.
I will get appreciably much more interested if that starts to happen. What? If they miss a show, if there's like a Axel throwing something at somebody in the audience, I will perk up and pay attention.
but what was that like a fake article about Axel has showed up in Coachella 4 months early just to make sure he's going to be on time for the on stage? Funny. The picture of Luff was great. Him just in the open field.
But, well, both Duff and Slash. I mean, that this is where, you know, I'm a little curious on what was agreed on, because I think the first thing we heard about that was confirmed was that they were meeting, and they did meet, and they were hammering out some sort of agreement, whether it was just like overall merchandise sales, ownership of the name. You know, it was not necessarily about, you know, going up and playing music together.
But here's the thing. So in a way, the reunion's kind of fun. The other thing I'm not so thrilled about is, have you ever seen, I think we have mixed opinions, and I do too, about Miles Kennedy. Have you ever seen him live?
Yeah.
You don't like him, do you?
I do not. His voice does not. It's like a dog whistle to me.
I can see that.
He seems like a very nice guy, by the way.
In certain songs, he is that way. I'm like back and forth on him. But I got to tell you, I've seen him that lineup three times at two fests, and then I saw a one-off concert at the Hard Rock Live down here. And, man, when they play Civil War and Rocket Queen and just all the classics you want to hear, he's better than Axl is right now. I will tell you
that. Oh, as like being able to, boy.
I'm telling you.
On a technical level, I'd probably agree with you. I have a hard time believing that I personally would enjoy him over Axl right now. He just does not do it for me. And that last record that Slash did, what a fucking crime to have that guy singing on it, because... Oh God, it's just so good! And then he starts singing. It's just
I will have to agree there. But I like he's an odd guy, because certain songs he sounds to me. I like a lot of
the hits. The one thing, you know, that first record that Slash did. Well, not first, but the one that he had all the guest vocals on. Right,
loved it.
Me too. And there was only two songs that I flat out hated. And of course, that's the fucking dude he picks to be a singer going forward. It is like he says, oh, you don't like him, huh, Baco? Fuck you.
You do, but the point as far as his vocals,
I don't
go,
hate him. His voice,
I understand. I understand we're being nice, but the point being is that in a way that lineup in the Guns N' Roses reunion, where Axl controls everything, and you know,
yeah,
it's his thing. He's the weakest link. I'm telling you, like, you've seen, I think that they should have two things for the reunion. One is that he signs some contract where he loses $10,000 a minute for every minute he's late on stage.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was kind of going with that we got sidetracked, because I know, I mean, in no uncertain terms, both Slash and Duff said they would never put themselves in a situation to deal with that again.
And we'll go into our history with that in a second.
Yeah.
But and then the other part is to have, you know, some type of health expectation regimen for him. And I don't mean that in a joking way. I mean that.
Like, he's getting a little chubby, but I think that gets overblown a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, but he it, my point is like, even with the Kiss reunion, there was like, you know, they put Ace in. There was a certain expectation for health to get through.
Yeah, that
concert
wasn't maintained or enforced.
No, it wasn't, but there was in the beginning. So I guess it's pretty much impossible to do that part. So let's just put that aside. But, you know, go ahead. So going with the whole lateness thing, is that what you wanted to touch on, or were you going somewhere
else?
Well,
no, we covered it. I mean, for what I wanted to say, I'm curious what that was decided there. I do know Guns has been better lately, you know, with the last few tours they've done as far as starting on time.
The vocals are suspect sometimes, though. Like, I've seen something, sure. I call magic actual vocals.
I mean, but this is, I mean, well, the show we're going to be talking about here in a second was, what, 23 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, and so he doesn't have that.
Of course not.
That's not where I'm going. There's a guy I was just thinking about. Well, let's talk about David Bowie. Not just as a singer, I'm saying. He doesn't have that kind of voice that basically doesn't need a lot of maintenance late in life to be able to recreate it. Axl's voice pretty much requires that he stays young and in shape. Well, otherwise, yeah, it's going to noticeably be different. He's going to have nights where it clearly isn't where it's supposed to be. Paul Stanley is dealing with much of the same thing. You know, and even then, you know, as great as Paul was for the longest time, you listen to the stuff he was doing in the 80s and go back and listen to, like, you know, Kiss Alive. And so this is a much shorter time period. You know, him and both Tyler from Aerosmith suffered this around those same eras. You know, they just lost a bit of a mid-rangey tonal quality. They were still phenomenal singers, still a couple of the best ever. But even then, you could start to see things were changing just by getting older, just by using it. You know what I mean? And I think Axl's a difficult voice. And I think sometimes the expectation is almost like, I'd rather see him, like, I don't know, do something to start a riot than worry about whether or not he was perfect then in concert, just because it's more interesting to me.
Chinese Democracy, when it finally came out, you know, he'd gone through so many revisions and everybody knows the history on that. But still, even on something that he went over and over and over on, his vocals kill a lot of those songs. Like, I like the Blues or Street of Dreams or whatever it was finally called on that album. Musically, great. There's a lot of those songs that are great musically, but there's something, I mean, and this is somebody that probably took like 1,000 takes, you know, from a perfectionist, and that's the version he put out. And that's my point, is that even, you know, in the studio, you should be able to pull it off.
I think he still can pull it off, but just not every night. Yeah. And,
right.
And I don't know, maybe he is a little out of shape. I'm not going to get too much. The pictures I've seen of him, they're somewhat entertaining, but I don't think it's...
You're the person to share that.
He's not Vince Neil level, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, I was amazed at that. Like, I've seen them before, but he was definitely near the end. It was an interesting ride.
I don't think he needs to use the backing tracks that he does.
No?
No. And he's the star, so he can't be the weak link.
Who's that?
Axl.
You know, the
no, Axl, it's called Velvet Revolver.
Well, you know, but with that too, I think that a better version of the Guns N' Roses reunion would be if they had that, if they did like a hologram of him on stage.
Yeah, you're a big proponent of the hologram.
I am. It's just a hologram of him, and then it's the original band, and they just pipe in his vocals from Appetite for Destruction and Use Your Illusion. Great fucking concert. So your personal emotional investment in this. Tell me your Guns N' Roses, like, your entry point. Because Appetite...
just the band?
Yeah, I mean, just in general. Like, for me, they're definitely in my top 10. I don't know about you, but they're 100% in there. And
they're big, yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I can tell you I didn't care for Welcome to the Jungle initially.
Neither did I. That's so funny you said that, because that did not hook me into the album. I'll tell you this song I heard that hooked me in there, but go ahead. What got it for you?
A buddy of mine, he got the CD when it came out because of Welcome to the Jungle. I still hadn't heard it. He gave me a dubbed cassette, and he had this habit of, like, maximizing the amount of tape on your TDK. You know, you got like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So he would reorder, resequence song orders on cassettes that he would make for me, so that way I could get the most music on a tape possible. And so the first song I heard from him was Out to Get Me, and that is still one of my favorite songs by them. I'm pretty sure I still have that fucking cassette somewhere, too. And then it was Night Train, of all things, and I really don't remember the order after that. But
yeah, the kind of a similar thing in two different bands. There was this dude that was in the locker right next to me in high school, and he always had, he was tapped in or something like that. So he actually had a LP of... Live Like a Suicide, like in 86, before it became Lies. Do you know how that works? I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, like
the second half of Lies is an old that thing that had Mama Kim.
They recorded it right before
Appetite.
Yeah,
and then they put it out. They put it out for like free on the streets to get like hype for the band.
It's in one of their books. Yeah. My recollection is it's a little different than that, but I know the record you're talking about. Let's put it that way.
It's called Live Like a Suicide.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So, but the whole thing is fake. It's not
right.
It's not live. All this stuff like that. So anyway, he gave me that, and he's like, you know, check this out. I listened to it, and I was like, that's pretty good. My favorite song is Mama Kin. I didn't know it was an Aerosmith cover at the time.
And, yeah, same here.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I still like that version better than Aerosmith's. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big Aerosmith guy.
So. Yeah, all right. So that's easy for you then.
This is a song about your fucking mother. All this.
But yeah, so going back to this, you know, the first thing I had was same thing with the tapes. I mean, like my the first track on the album when I got it was Night Train, and that's one of my favorite songs by them. Is that that's how it started was Night Train on that tape. And did you have albums for that had the that were taped where there was a song cut off in the end that you never heard the end of for like years?
Well, I'm sure. I
have one. I have one. I never heard the last 3 minutes of Orion off of Master of Puppets for like for like 10 years.
Probably not if you had to pick one, that's probably a decent one.
I guess I love that song, but
no, I'm not shooting it down. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, so then that was your entry point. You started to dig them, and then did you see him on the Appetite, or you saw him Use Your Illusion?
Use Your Illusions was the first time. It was that. That whole train wreck tour they did with Metallica, and we saw the. I know you said you saw him in Indianapolis. Was Faith No More with him?
Yeah, it was the same. I'm sure it was just a few dates, but either before or after, since we were both in that.
We saw the last show Faith No More did. They announced that they were shit, I'm blanking on the singer's name.
I know who you're talking
Mark
about.
Mike Patton. Yeah. Mike Patton said they were getting out of the ring, you know, because they had that song Get in the Ring.
But. Right. Oh, because it was so crazy?
I don't think he was just using a play on words. He didn't actually go. I think they were only signed up for that part of the tour. They weren't actually, like, bailing.
Gotcha.
But a different band was taking the. I know the tour wasn't done.
Yeah, and then. But we had about the same wait in between Metallica and Guns N' Roses, right?
Yeah, ours was pretty close, at least an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was like 90 minutes to 2 hours. And I thought that was the average time it took to change bands because that was one of my first concerts. It was so great, like later when it wasn't like that. Like my first concert was Crew when I was 15. I think it was 18 when I saw that concert. But I got to tell you, man, was your experience that it was a great concert?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, they played fucking, in my concert, they played Estranged. And I don't know why. I recently looked up the actual set list on Setlist FM. And I was looking at it and I was like, I don't know if they always play that, but even at that age, I was just like, this song has to be, this so complex. You know what I mean? Like, it's gotta be a hard song to play live and play well, so monstrous. And, they killed it. I thought it was great.
I think they opened with Night Train, if I remember right.
They did. That was the set list. That seemed to be the theme.
We knew we were getting close, to them starting because, the lights are still on. And God, I was thinking about that when we were talking about this on Facebook the other day. This show had to start at like 5 o'clock because we didn't get out of there at 2 a.m. and Metallica played almost 2 hours and so did Guns N' Roses. It was really raining after the show. It was raining so bad that Slash came out and told everybody to be careful and it just fucking rained, so you know it's bad. The point being is we were soaked by the time we got to the car. I believe we all wiped out and slid down this grass hill. But we rode back, I was living in Rochester at the time, so it was about an hour and a half drive, and we drove all the way back, all five dudes shoved into like this Toyota Camry in just our underwear. We're wondering what would happen if we got pulled over.
Underwear? Why are you in your underwear?
Because our clothes were too wet, and the guy was driving his mom's dad's car, so he made us all take.
Oh, so you want it nice and, okay. That's a little weird. That's a weird end to a concert, driving.
Yeah. Around. And, yeah. this is still a fairly young time in my life. I wasn't, you know, this was not one of those
drunk,
you know, alcoholic concerts. You know,
I didn't have
anything to drink.
Yeah, I was there with like my younger brother, like when he was 15 or 16. And like, I knew that was an example of it is, you know, I don't know about you if you had a short attention span, but I was locked in that entire concert with them. That goes for all you punks in the press that want to start shit by printing lines instead of the things we said. That means you, Andy Sesher, Hit Parader, Circus Magazine, Mick Wall at Kerrang, Bob Guccione Jr. at Spin. What, you pissed off because your dad gets more pussy than you? Fuck you! Suck my fucking dick! You'd be ripping off the fucking kids while they be paying their hard-earned money to read about the bands they want to know about. Printing lies, starting controversy. You want to antagonize me? Antagonize me, motherfucker! Get in the ring, motherfucker, and I'll kick your bitchy little ass, punk!
That's it, friends. Be sure to tune in next time for part two, Purge Your Illusion. We cut the 30-track Dents, Use Your Illusion albums, down to just 12 tracks. This nearly breaks Baco. He doesn't seem to understand. It's only a show, and he can still listen to the songs afterwards. Until then, remember, rock's not dead. It's hiding, and you found it. Well done.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.